Chapter 24 Anubis. "Newbie," Jake called out, "set the internal temperature to 40 degrees.
"Okay, Jake. Setting cabin temperature to 40 degrees Celsius."
The words had a dull, distant quality. Callie couldn't quite hear the sharp edges on them. She wondered how badly she'd damaged her ears. Jake half-guided, half-dragged her, banging her arm once against something that might have been a door frame or a cabinet. He took a few more awkward steps before his hands fumbled against her chest and shoulders, pushing her back. She collapsed, and something beneath her yielded with a faint hiss. One of the couches. The drop made her head swirl again. She considered throwing up, and the idea had some appeal in the moment.
"Sorry. Kind of blind right now."
His voice rasped, and she could hear the tightness in his jaw as he tried not to let his teeth chatter.
"Going by memory."
Her tongue flopped in her mouth. She could barely feel it, either as an appendage or as just something between her jaws.
"It's okay,"
she managed to spit out on the third try. A thump sounded in the distance, followed by another hiss. The far couch. He'd collapsed across from her.
"Newbie,"
he croaked again.
"Both our suits failed."
"I'm so sorry to hear that, Jake. Adjusting O2 mixes and air pressure for decompression treatment."
Callie sucked in another breath, and a fraction of her nausea and lightheadedness faded. Her arms pulled tight around her chest, her legs pressed together. She shivered on the couch. The hot air bit at her flesh. Her pulse pounded in her chest and head. A violent wave of shivering, almost convulsions, rolled down through her limbs. Her bones ached with cold. She took a greedy breath, let the hot air roll across her leathery tongue. Pain blossomed in one of her front teeth like a hot, spiky carnation, and she groaned. Maybe in the top incisor, the pain was too big to be sure.
"Yeah," said Jake. "Thawing sucks."
"Thing I lost a tooth,"
she sounded out. The pins and needles had worked their way into her tongue.
"If you only lost one, you're damn lucky. Hell, I think I lost both eyes and my nose. I'm still considering myself lucky."
He took a few deep breaths of his own. It set off a small bout of teeth chattering he struggled to get under control. Once he did, he said,
"Thank you."
She waved it off, a tight, clumsy gesture, since she couldn't pry her arms away from her chest.
"No problem."
Another few deep breaths. Her head steadied a little more. So did her stomach and throat. Pins and needles pricked her forehead, cheeks, and nose. Callie swished her tongue back and forth in her mouth, up and down, forcing it to work, forcing blood to flow through it. It felt like there were dozens of tiny cuts all over it. Maybe there were.
"Losing my eyes would kind of suck," said Jake a few minutes later. "Sure, I'd get used to it, but I really like looking at stuff."
"Probably."
She paused, curled her tongue two or three times between her chattering teeth. The raw section stung as they flexed.
"Prob-ab-ly not blind,"
she sounded out.
"Your eyes are just frozen shut. Mine, too."
"Joy."
"Big, tough guy."
"Not next to you."
She laughed. Her broken tooth turned it into more of a groan.
think you might have created a new event for the screw-off Olympics.
Yay me.
Well, you're probably going to keep the record for a while.
She flexed her fingers and toes. Extremities seemed to be okay, but her head, shoulders, and chest all felt like ice. She'd never heard of someone losing nipples to frostbite, but it probably happened. Or possibly it'd be another first for her. Her fingers felt their way across her tingling face. Her nose was a lump of cold putty. Her eyes felt hard beneath the lids, hard and cold, maybe frozen solid. She pawed at her ears and felt two cold slabs on either side of her head.
Talk, she said. Talk to me, please.
About what?
She sighed.
Worried my eardrums had burst.
You okay?
Yeah. I think they just popped really hard. Keep talking?
Well, soon as I can open my eyes, I'm going to get us some water and maybe blankets. Feel like I've been sleeping naked in Antarctica, so I can't even guess what you're going through,
he said.
I'm cold. Everything sounds funny in my left ear.
Can still hear, though?
I think so. Yeah.
You'll be okay. Probably just tweaked your eardrum. It'll pop back once you warm up a bit.
Hey,
she said, turning her head in his direction.
Since you brought it up, aren't we supposed to get naked?
He coughed.
What? Now?
She went to roll her eyes, and the sockets throbbed. She bit back another groan.
No, you... For the cold. Isn't it supposed to help warm you back up faster? Being naked with someone?
Oh.
A wheezing chuckle slid over to her through the air.
Don't think it works when both of us are frozen. Sorry.
You're too honest for your own good.
A harsh cough split the air, the closest he could get to one of his barking laughs. The pins and needles across her head had become a sewing circle, stitching away at her face. She reached up and found ice water in the corners of her eyes. Her teeth had slowed down, only chattering in short, trembling bursts.
Gonna try opening my eyes,
rasped Jake.
You sure?
Can't sit here forever. Somebody's gotta drive this thing. Fuck me!
What?
She tried to sit up, and her head swirled, her thoughts blurred.
Staring right into a lamp when I opened them. Newbie, turn the lights down by half.
Okay, Jake. Reducing interior illumination by 50%. You okay?
Callie asked.
Big blurry room, but it's a start.
He took a few more deep breaths and she heard him shift on the couch.
Think I can make my way around a little bit.
You sure?
She heard a locker open, things shift. Something thudded on the floor. A minute later, weight settled across her shoulders. Soft, but scratchy. Jake tugged and adjusted the blanket around her. Another locker opened. A few more thuds. Something popped. Jake slurped at something, then he touched her arm.
Got some water, he said. Probably want to sip it.
I'm not sure I can.
You need to. We both lost a lot of moisture out there, especially you.
The bottle moved gently between her scarred lips. The water felt almost hot on her tongue. She swallowed two mouthfuls, coughed on the third. It dribbled over her chin. Jake set a hand on her shoulder. She could feel his touch, but not much else. A moment later, the bottle touched her lips again. She managed three swallows this time. Callie shifted beneath her blanket. She reached up and flicked more water from her eyes. It didn't seem as cold anymore, almost warm. Her eyelashes felt sticky. She ran her fingers over her eyelids a few times, let her palms rest over them. Her eyes didn't feel as hard or as cold. She took a few slow breaths, then cautiously tried to open them. Her lashes clung to each other for a moment before peeling apart. The inside of Anubis was a painfully bright blur, even with the lights turned down, and she had to blink a dozen or so times before her aching eyes adjusted at all.
Okay, she said. Not blind.
Hang on a minute.
Something dark loomed over her and she shrank back.
It's just me.
Sorry.
The dark blur stretched forward. It touched her forehead with something damp and clammy. Callie shuddered.
Last thing, he said. This'll help your skin.
What is it?
Yellow goo from the first aid kit. Got a really long name that doesn't have enough vowels. Supposed to be good for exposure to vacuum.
She looked up at his blurry form.
What about you?
Already smeared some on.
Ah.
Tells me how well you can see.
It's getting better, she said. I can see shapes, sort of.
He settled in next to her on the couch. His fingers made circles across her cheeks, rubbed the sides of her nose. The goo smelled like chemical citrus, the scent added to children's medicines. He worked it over her ears, spread it across her chin and jaw, brushed it on her lips.
Close your eyes,
she did, and his thick fingers glided across them.
Keep them shut for a few minutes. Let the goo sink in.
I just got them open.
Well, I told you not to rush.
Another blob of goo hit her neck. He rubbed it along both sides, down onto the slim tendons that reached under her collar. Her skin prickled and tingled.
Got worried when you didn't come in, he said. You were out there for almost 3 minutes after me.
2.5 of it was just being sick in my suit.
You shouldn't have done it.
You're welcome.
I'm serious. Shouldn't have risked yourself like that.
You would have died.
We both could have died.
She thought about glaring at him, but didn't want the goo leaking into her eyes. Then another thought crossed her mind. It let a few more out in a slow parade.
Do you think she wanted to?
He stopped his dabbing.
Who?
Izmi. Do you think she wanted to die? Like some kind of grief response or something? Survivor's guilt, maybe?
What makes you ask?
I was just thinking about you dying, and then what bad luck she had. Going off course when she slid down the dome, getting stuck out on the antennae. Then it hit me.
Yeah?
Well, how did she get so far off course? She was, what, 10, 15 meters off to the side?
The couch shifted as Jake stood up, taking some of the warmth with him.
Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe she did do it on purpose, he said. She and Waqeed were just... they were perfect, you know? Just renewed their vows 2 years ago. Knew losing him was going to mess her up, but I didn't think it'd be that bad.
Jake cleared his throat.
People make some really bad decisions when they're scared.
Speaking from experience?
Yeah. Guess we'll never know. I'm not going to say anything about it.
She took a deep breath.
Neither will I.
Good. Newbie.
Yes, Jake.
Erase the last 5 minutes of conversation from the internal logs.
I'm not supposed to do that, Jake.
I know.
He raised a weary arm, looked at the shiny blur of his tab.
Command override. Erase 'em.
Okay, Jake. Erasing internal logs from 1323 to 1328.
Callie reached up and felt her eyes. The goo was almost gone, either evaporated or absorbed into her skin. Much softer skin, even if it was still cold and numb. She opened her eyes and felt an oily film shift as her eyelids folded up. A blur, roughly the color and shape of Jake, stood a few feet away. She could tell the walls from the ceiling and floor, and even pick out the streak that was the other couch. She blinked a few more times. Blurry Jake thudded back onto his couch.
Think you can talk for a few more minutes?
Why?
Need to give everyone a heads up. Not sure how much they followed out here.
I can manage.
Good. Newbie?
Yes, Jake.
Open a channel to Luna City, straight to Sheriff Gordon if you can.
Of course. Opening a channel to Sheriff Sam Gordon.
A few beats passed, and then Gordon's voice replaced Newbie's.
Jake? Here.
We're both here,
said Callie.
We're okay.
Where have you been? We were getting worried.
Recovering, Jake said. Things got rough.
Tessa's voice broke in.
We saw Izmi. We saw the protocols change, and all her suit telemetry went... it stopped transmitting data.
Yeah. But you two are okay,
asked Gordon.
You look like crap.
More or less. Callie did something stupid and saved my life. Tried to stop her.
Asshole,
she murmured. Her tooth throbbed as the hot air brushed it and the pulse shook her body.
That why the telemetry from your suits went nuts?
Probably,
said Jake.
Yeah, well, said Gordon. When Discorp starts handing out medals, we'll make sure she gets two. Think you're going to be much longer?
We're both kind of messed up, pressure-wise. Just got my eyes open. Maybe another 20-30 minutes.
Might be better if you can make it a lot less.
Why?
Callie turned her head, tried to aim her better ear at the speaker.
Just before your suits went screwy, they all started going nuts.
The zombies?
Callie tried to remember the last few seconds before unlatching her helmet.
Yep. Every single one we can see inside and out. Can't you feel them pounding on Anubis? They're all pounding on the gates, clawing at every cable and hose they can reach.
Callie felt her heartbeat push its way into her neck and cheeks and eyes. But not just her heartbeat. A second, erratic pulse had been lurking beneath, trembling through her numb skin. It shook the floor and the couch and the wall behind her.
"Oh, shit," she said.
"Yeah," agreed Gordon. "They can't reach the controls for the side doors, but they're all around you."
"Okay," said Jake. "We'll do our best. Let you know when we're close to Gagarin. Anubis out."
"Take care of yourselves," called Tessa. "We're ready for you here." "Channel closed," said Newby.
Callie pushed herself to her feet, drifting up to a standing position. She swayed, set a hand against the wall, and straightened up, tugging the blanket around herself.
"Let's get moving."
"Give it a few minutes," he said. "You're barely recovered. The whole point of getting over there is we can move fast once we're there. We take our time on that end, the zombies will get us."
"It'll take us 15 minutes to get there. We can recover on the way."
He sighed, shook his head.
"You're right."
"Is there any more water?"
"Sure you're up to it?"
"Only one way to find out."
He pulled open a cabinet next to his couch.
"Can you see well enough to catch?"
"Let's see."
He tossed the bottle. Callie raised her arms to catch it in the folds of the blanket. She pawed at the seal for a few moments, then finally got the lid off. She took a breath to still her wobbly head and sipped some water. She blinked a few more times. More of the room's blur went away. The inside of Anubis felt hot, but she wasn't sure if the temperature had been rising or it just seemed hot on her recovering skin. The sharp itch of circulation still wove its way through her skin, but the goo seemed to have spared her from the worst of it. Callie tugged her blanket tighter around her shoulders. She took a step toward the cockpit, then another. She staggered forward, caught herself on the narrow arch between compartments.
"You coming, or are you going to make me drive?"
Jake stumbled to her, his own blanket drifting around him like a cloak. His feet dropped to the floor, heavy even in the low gravity.
"I'm here."
"Newbie?" "Yes, Callie."
She glanced at the smear of Jake, then dropped into the co-pilot's seat.
"Power up." "Okay, Callie. Full power to drive and navigation systems."
The air shifted and the lights brightened to regular intensity. It made her eyes ache. She blinked the ache away and was pleased when her vision didn't falter too much. The exterior lights brightened the landscape outside the windshield, and Callie watched a forest of clients resolve out of the gloom of lunar night. The buggy's floodlights revealed at least 100 of them just in front of Anubis. Their emaciated hands reached up to slap and pound at the bottom of the windshield. Even more shuffled toward the lights, slow, dragging movements across the moon's surface. A woman in a black gown bounced up, then settled down into the crowd. A boy in a pale shroud bounded forward and collided with another zombie. Jake collapsed into the driver's seat. He flipped a few switches, breathed hard on his fingertips, and reached for the yoke. Anubis lurched into motion, leaving the zombies behind.